Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio, where we are live from the Business Radio X studio in the East Valley and brought to you by the women who lived it. I'm your host, Joanne Holland, along with my co-host, Karen Nowicki.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have three incredible women with us this morning, Karen. So I'm going to ask each of you to introduce yourselves. Please share whatever you'd like with us. There's no time limit, but we only have an hour. So I'll begin with Andrea Evans.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me. My name's Andrea Evans, and I'm the publisher of frontdoorsmedia.com. This is a website and newsletter and e-magazine that celebrates stories about giving in our community. We celebrate both nonprofits, philanthropists, and those that volunteer to make the Valley of the Sun a better place to live.
Wow, that's terrific. And next, please go ahead.
My name is Robin Carpenter. I am a realtor in the West Valley. I work for Keller Williams, and I work with military families, finding them a home and helping people find a smile behind every door.
Wow, that's terrific.
And I'm Judy Pearson. I am a writer and the founder of asecondact.org, which is a Phoenix-born organization that supports and celebrates women survivors of all cancers who are giving back to the greater good in their second acts of life.
Wow, I love it.
Wonderful conversation I can feel already today.
Yes. So, Andrea, let's start with you. So tell me a little bit about some of the articles or people that you've covered and your digital magazine for Front Doors.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Well, each month we write some beautiful feature, you know, pieces for the magazine. And this month is a story about the two sisters behind My Sister's Closet.
Oh,
and
good.
All those wonderful locations across the valley. And the two sisters, Tess and Anne, are stepping up their efforts this month and co-chairing a huge fundraiser that's this weekend for the Arizona Humane Society. And it's called Compassion for Fashion. And it's the 20th anniversary of this event. And not only are there models involved, but also model pets on the runway. So that's an example of how we're celebrating fashion this month, but how fashion can come, you know, connected with philanthropy. And every month we do a column with that subject matter. But for March and Spring Fashion Week, we did a feature story.
That's great, because we're blessed in the East Valley to actually have the My Sister's Closet 501c3 store located in our backyard. So I am frequently there finding some amazing things and amazing deals. So thank you so much for sharing with that. And the families that you help with real estate in the West Valley, and you mentioned veterans.
Yes.
Are they living here for a while? Are they at Luke Air Force Base? Where are their journeys taking them?
And then a little bit of both. We have a lot of military in the valley, East Valley, West Valley, and in Southern Arizona as well. So a lot of these families are coming in for maybe just 2 to 3 years. And some of them are retiring and staying here in the valley. I'm a certified residential specialist for the military. So I'm able to kind of help them with the things that they would, that regular people don't have to deal with. If you are leaving in 10 days and you have to find a house for your family by the time you get there, or if you're coming into Arizona, then that's what I specialize in. I can find them a place before they get there so that they don't have to worry about it. There's a lot of stress being a military spouse. I know that because I am a military spouse. So it is a lot of work for them. And it takes a lot of the pressure off for me to be able to do that for them.
It's funny that you mentioned that. Just yesterday, I reached out to a neighbor whose husband is in the military in the Army. And they were our neighbor for almost 2 years. And then they got relocated, I think, North Carolina. And we just happened to touch base yesterday via text. And she said, hey, by the summer, we're going to get ready to have to move again. I think Fort Benning this time around. And my question to her was, I know this is to be expected, but how are you feeling about this move this time around? And she was excited, but she said that you never know really until the day they say you're going, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
So while she thinks it's Fort Benning, it could be somewhere else.
Could be something else. You won't know until your papers arrive.
So from the real estate perspective, mm-hmm. you are tenderly taking care of that transaction and really anticipating that things may shift for them, right?
That's right. And that is a lot of stress on a family. A lot of, you know, our military are younger families. So that's little kids, that's
yes.
changing jobs, packing up your house, waiting to see. And then to have someone that can get them to the next place and they feel comfortable or have a trust built up with, so they can pass that torch on to the next realtor in that town. So that's really important to set all that up for them, take a lot of that weight off their shoulders.
Wow. And Judy, so with Second Act, how long of an organization? When did you found this? And
can I just piggyback on,
oh, sure.
on what Robin was saying? My son is career Air Force. And while it is a stress to move around, there's benefits. They just found out, as my granddaughter is now 16, that if you are career military, you get in-state tuition anywhere in the country.
Is that new?
Isn't
yeah.
that the coolest thing?
Is that a
you
new
move.
Thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is the first time we've had to start
wow,
thinking about
yeah.
college or
yeah.
they have. So
I see lots of smiles in the studio.
You are residents wherever you land.
Yeah, yep. wherever you land.
Isn't that the coolest
yeah.
thing
that
ever?
That really is amazing.
Yep. And it's a lot of, it's, sometimes people don't know that.
Yes.
So
right.
it, yeah, that's
a kept
I'm glad you brought that
to
up.
Time
yeah.
to share
My
it.
Kid's good at digging stuff up.
yeah.
So anyway, back to Second Act. I founded Second Act here in Phoenix in 2016. But a great deal of the work that we do had sort of been percolating for me since my own cancer diagnosis and the end of my treatment. I recognized that women survivors were doing amazing things. And there's a body of research that supports the theory that there is healing and helping, volunteer research, but nobody ever put it together with cancer survivors. And once you start taking the focus off yourself and shining your light out there, mm-hmm. it's amazing. And for us, Second Acts don't have to be cancer related. They don't have to be organized. They can be free spirited. They don't have to be big. You don't have to create a hospital foundation or a hospital wing. The stories are amazing and never ending.
Wow. So really, and then I assume that as cancer is ageless, mm-hmm. it's women from all ages.
It is. In our primary fundraiser is a stage performance, which we just had the Phoenix version Sunday. But in last year's performance, we had a 15-year-old girl. And we focus on women because women heal through community and communication and nurturing one another. And so that's what this organization is based on. Men heal on the ball field and the golf course, somebody told me. They'd rather write a check. We women want to hold one another's hands.
Oh, very good analogy. Mm-hmm. I love that. And Andrea, on some of the stories or the organizations, obviously a lot of nonprofits in the Valley to cover. How would someone go about getting a story or pitching you with Cover My nonprofit event?
Yeah, no, thank you for asking. I do tell everybody in my travels around town that you do not need a formal press release, if you will, to talk to me and my team of writers about getting a story in front doors. I love an email that is straightforward, lays out the facts. You know, there's usually some little tugs of heartstrings in there. And just to start a conversation. And find the right person on our team to follow up and see if we can't find a great place, either in the magazine, the weekly e-news, or in our social media to shine the light on what's being done. Those volunteer stories, for example, are magical, or a child setting up a lemonade stand for a charity or for Phoenix Children's Hospital. We just absolutely love those to come in. So the email address to use is editor@frontdoorsmedia.com. And that gets into our network, and we meet every week to go over those emails and pick stories that, again, are diverse from big organizations to small.
So it can be a story. It doesn't have to be you're not having an event, you're not having something special come up. It's just, it can be any type of story about that nonprofit organization that they can share with you.
Yes, that's really what we pride ourselves on, is the storytellers about what's going on in our community and, you know, giving in our community. The events are great, and we do attend and cover a lot of events and post beautiful photos of everybody giving back. But the new content and the content that our readers really love to see, especially in the magazine, is the backstory about the how and why and the what is going on behind somebody's heart, right, to give back.
What's the revenue behind Front Doors Media? Is it advertising? And so who do you look for that aspect of it?
Absolutely. We do have wonderful advertising programs, and those are from our e-blasts that we do every week, the digital magazine every month. And then we also have a TV program called Front Doors TV.
That's right. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And we're partnered with Carrie Pena, who used to be at Channel 3, to create one show a month. It's a web TV cast. And we're shooting again tomorrow, a story on Donor Network, Arizona. And we produce a 3-minute segment for an organization. Corporations sometimes sponsor those for a nonprofit they want to give that gift of video content to. That's the case this week. And so every month we have a very great show, and they're all cataloged on our website under the FDTV tab.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. Well, definitely. I've checked a few of those out, so I'm excited. Robin, I know with military families, like you explained, it's the unknown. Where am I going to be? Where am I going? Where am I going to be stationed? You know, where are my children going to go to school? All of that. But how does someone know of the different loan programs that exist for veterans and those things? How would they, do they see you first? Did they go to the bank first? What's your...
It's always best to meet with someone like myself who has a connection, has resources for those things. Find out, first of all, what your time frame is. Start some communication. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to need to buy a house. How do I go about doing that? And then I can set them up with different organizations, different lenders, people that are specifically trained with military and that have different military programs for them. So there's a big resource of information that a realtor will have. And also to let them know what their communities are, what to expect in their community. Andrea was talking about community charities and things like that. At Keller Williams, we come from contribution. So everything that we do has some kind of community charity involved in it. We do something called Red Day every year, annually, internationally, across the world. Every Keller Williams agent will take the day off. It's I believe it's May 10th or 11th this year. And we take off, we wear our red shirts, and we go out into the community. So you'll see red.
Well, that's fun.
Will choose a charity in our community, whether it's the YMCA, we do Boys and Girls Clubs, things like that. We'll come out and do rec centers, and we'll just come in and bring all of our resources, all our handymen, all our plumbers, all of our construction workers, and all of our team. And we will just build what they need. We give back to the community in that way. And we try to focus on some of those organizations like the YMCA, Southwest Family. They are great in the community. So we try to help them. That's going to be who we're doing this year.
Wow.
That's so cool.
And it's like right there helps with the red nose.
Yeah, right. Around the same time. And we include our military families, let them know this is what your community now offers. You've come from so many different places here. Here's where your home base is. Here's where your kids can go to swimming lessons. Here's where, you know, you can do any of the community services or
sports,
getting involved in all of that.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And with Act Two, Judy. Second Act. with Second Act, getting them engaged again.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. Share with us a little bit about how you go about that as an organization or individuals. Obviously, everyone's an individual, so how you'd work with each individual person would be a different way. But what's the program look like?
So just a quick backstory. When you are diagnosed with cancer, the first thing that happens is this flurry of activity in the treatment arena. You know, the doctors, everybody triages your disease. And you feel very, very safe in that little cocoon. But then either when they tell you your treatment is over, you have no evidence of disease, or that you have to live with your cancer, they give you a cupcake and a balloon and send you out the door. And all of a sudden, you feel like you're in free fall. So that's the moment that we really hope to help women. So there are women who are already a ways down the road from that and have created their second X. And there are those who are ready to create a second act. And then there are those who have no clue what's going to happen next. And we spend more time concentrating on that window of treatment rather than the rest of your life, which we hope is going to be long. We've fought really hard to make that happen. So it's a sisterhood. We call it the Purple Tribe. Purple is the universal color for survivorship of all cancer. So it's the Purple Tribe. So women who have been on our stages begin tutoring the next group. And it's like that old shampoo commercial from what, the 80s or the 90s, you know, two women tell two women and oh, so right. on and so on. Yeah, exactly.
You tell two friends.
Exactly. Two friends and that's and so it. On. That's exactly it. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And we have workshops that we conduct throughout the Valley about four or five times a year, helping guide women to consider what their skills and their passions and their cancer might have uniquely qualified them to do in a second act. And those are led by sister survivors as well.
Wow. I it's love really how you call cool. it sister survivors.
Yep.
I think that's a really neat.
Yep.
And how do women go about finding out about your organization or someone that may be listening that is receive the news that they're done with, about to be complete their program, they're either cancer-free or they live with their cancer, mm-hmm. whatever, how would they go about getting in touch?
So best way is to go to our website, asecondact.org, and it's second with the numeral two, as opposed to the word spelled out, 2ND, asecondact.org. Everything is laid out there for them. We have a blog so they can read some second act stories. Andrea, did you send me your blog submission?
I have not, Judy. I'm in trouble today.
Oh my gosh. All right. And we also publish a book and of the stories of the women who've been on our stages. So they can access the link for the book. And we have a YouTube channel so they can see the individual stories that have been told. We also do performances in all of these programs in Tucson. So the Purple Tribe keeps growing across the state of Arizona, and there's lots for people to avail themselves of.
At Front Doors, we're so lucky. Judy shares one second act with our readers in our magazine every month.
Oh, wow.
So she has a column in Front Doors, and that's how we're...
And it's not always cancer-related either.
But
there are stories, exactly the same thing as what most of my tribe members have done, people who've experienced some life challenge, and then on the other side, realized that they had skills and experience that could help the next person going through it. Those stories have been so wonderful. They've been so... And that's how Andrea and I met.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
And so... Any stories from the family members or someone from who's experienced that second act with that, or just a thought that to gain that perspective of a second act, you know, whether it be an adult child or even a child themselves to say, you know, my mom is healthy now or my mom is still sick, but this is how we do things now instead of before.
Right. Well, and the idea is that whether you're still in treatment or on the other side of it, that you are using the experience to give back in some way to somebody or something. Yeah. That's the notion of a second act. So wow. Can I tell them about the April article, about my April article? I'm so excited. So it's about...
We're not supposed to do that.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's only 2 weeks away.
See what happens here, Kara.
Yes. All right, fine. I'm not going to tell. I'm so excited.
Just give us a snippet.
Roof, roof.
Oh, okay.
Cute. That's perfect. That's a great We're on the edge of our seats.
The editorial theme of the April issue of Front Doors is Furry Friends.
Oh. So leave that as a teaser.
We didn't even practice
this. So there you go. We did not.
I love it. That's
great. Because that has a lot in our community. There are many lovers here of all types of fur.
It is. Yep. Amazing. And yes, Robin has an amazing furry friend and sees that a lot with the military families. I know.
I was going to say, maybe that's a question. How do the pets go?
When they move.
Right.
you know what I mean? A lot of times you're, depending on if you're going domestic or overseas, that would, you know, be a challenge. But the pets will go. The pets will go.
And tell us your furry story. I hear you.
Well,
have
I have a pet. I have a border collie, and he's going to be 8 on April 1st.
On Easter, okay.
Well, on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Because he is a fool himself. His name is Goose, because he is a silly goose.
Cute.
Aww. And he's a beautiful dog, and he's, you know, always out in the community. So if you ever see someone walking with a beautiful border collie...
It's you.
It's me. come by and say hello. Ask me a question. But yeah, it's nice to have a companion to be able to take with you when you move. And yeah, I'm lucky to have taken mine everywhere with me as well.
My granddaughter's guinea pig made the trip from, they were stationed in Oklahoma to England.
Wow.
Yeah, the guinea pig went to England with them.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Those pets are so important to family.
My gosh,
they are a family member.
Security.
Yeah.
And having to leave them in some case too with a very trusted, whether it be friend or family member that knows that when they come back or their next visit, that they'll still be there and they'll still be taken care of. And now with Facebook and Snapchat and FaceTime and all that, you still get to, you may not be able to touch them, but you'll still be able to visit and see them. And I always appreciate, I know we have a dog as well. And when my son's at college right now, and when in the phone, he hears his voice and you see the dog perk up to say, okay, but he's not here. And we try to show him, like, look, there he is. And the dog's just tilting his head going, okay. Like,
they don't quite get the screen.
You
thing.
Humans are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, really I don't understand what this is doing or how this is going. And Andrea, too, anything coming up on your Front Doors TV as far as, I know you said you do monthly shows. Mm-hmm. Any specific months that you target for different talks? Like, is October about cancer? Is there... kind of themes that go around?
With the TV, Carrie and I reshare what's been going on in the magazine for that month. And so we do have our theme each month. And this past October, we did do a cancer survivors issue. And that story was about Lucy, the owner of Lucy's Healthy Kitchen and the Orchard. She has some more locations expanding. But very compelling story about a mom, a businesswoman that had cancer and very little children. And actually, the cancer story ended up being about the entire family. There were several women within, a 1-year span that all received diagnosis, mostly breast cancer, but also that ripple effect, right? One person in the family is diagnosed. So the other women go and get their mammograms and exams. And so that was her case. And so she was pretty early detection because another family member had been diagnosed, but she had 3 little babies when she was diagnosed. And she, fought back and then really said, well, I'm really going to dive in to these businesses and these healthy places for people to eat and meet for our community. And she's very passionate about that. I will say, but in May, and so we are kind of got a few, looking for a few more stories. We do a Mother's Day edition of the magazine. And last year was the first one and it was a hit. So our team decided that we will do that every May because the mothers in our community are chock full of stories of giving back and giving back with their children and their husbands and their family and all aspects. And so we're looking forward to working on those stories. But last year it was Chief Jerry Williams our wonderful, awesome female police chief, and her son, Alan Williams, who plays for the Phoenix Suns. And so it was very, and I think a lot of people did not realize that.
That's so cool.
That they were mother and son. And how special is that?
Yeah.
That your mom is the police chief.
The first female police chief.
That's right. Yeah.
In the town that you were, city you were raised in, and that you play for the hometown, you know, NBA basketball
That's
team.
That's the coolest thing.
And he is a nice guy. You can tell he was raised really well.
I bet he didn't get away with much. I raised sons. I know how this goes.
but I met him. I remember him when he was 10 years old and playing Pop Warner football because Jerry and I were in a women's a leadership program together. And so it's funny to walk up to somebody now who's what, like 6'7" or something like that. I'm only 5'4". And I knew you when you were a kid. But he loves to give back through Sons Charities and is a shining example of those athletes that know that they have a lot to give back and they have a lot to be thankful for
and so much wonderful opportunity. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to submit a story to you for your Mother's Day issue. And it's about somebody who you'll laugh who has no children, but is truly a mother in this community.
Oh, I would love that. To hear that.
Yeah.
No, there are lots of instances.
And there's so many that.
That's great.
And she'll be the first one to tell you, you don't need to have children to play that role.
That's right.
And I thought that was just
very
so
true.
Powerful. Mm-hmm. So I will actually start working
on that. Excellent.
All right. Editor at frontdoorsmedia.com.
Thank you. Can't wait.
I get that one.
I'll alert the team.
Yeah.
There's always a theme with every show that just kind of shows up. And sometimes I think I'm the only one who hears it. But I wanted to address this just to get your opinions about this. Sometimes, and not usually here through Phoenix Business Radio, but in conversations throughout the community, I hear people saying, you know, either a nonprofit leader, someone who's just getting started, or maybe even somebody who wants to start a business, or, you know, in the case of military or veterans, they're not sure where to go for help. And I always am left scratching my head because there are so many resources. And what I'm hearing, not only the theme around being a resource for our community, but I don't know, I just lost my thought, but, and celebrating mm-hmm. who we are and who we are as a community. So thoughts about that. What would you suggest to maybe somebody, and they're likely not our listeners, because I think our listeners are pretty savvy, but when we hear somebody say, you know, I don't know who can help me get the word out, or I don't know where to go for funding, or I don't know where to go for help, how would each of you guide them in that?
There's so many. There's so many networking groups, women's networking business groups all over the valley. And those are always great because you can step in, learn from the people that are already there. They can then hook you up with others. But yeah, there's so many.
We have one of the greatest masters of networking sitting right here with us, Joanne Holland. And she talk about connecting. And putting people in conversations and relationships, Joanne, I'm so grateful for that. So yes, absolutely. East Valley Women, Scottsdale, or Women of Scottsdale, right? Central Valley and North Valley Women.
And the leadership programs.
Phoenix
Leadership, Scottsdale Leadership.
Valley Leadership.
Valley Leadership.
All of those. But Judy, you know, what would somebody else?
I was going to say,
Judy,
I will tell you.
This.
So as big as I talk, we're just little and new and growing. I knew this was an idea that was going to work, but the first step is becoming a nonprofit status. Having a nonprofit status takes time, takes some money, takes a lot of pieces to put together. There is such a thing as a fiscal sponsorship. It's nationwide. We happen to be extremely fortunate here in Phoenix, in the Valley. I think we have 3 fiscal sponsors. They take on projects, sponsored projects, and you as the nonprofit live under their 501c3 designation.
Oh, wow.
It gives you a chance to A, see if your idea is a good one and will fly, or as it was in my case, got me up and running so that we could begin fundraising to then pay for the next step.
The leverage that you need, the momentum,
it's fabulous.
The leverage without the financial outgo.
And our fiscal sponsor was a Technical Assistance Partnership of Arizona. They actually are a part of Vitalist, which used to be the St. Right. Luke's Foundation. So that's the first thing I would say. And then secondly, Arizona State has a, I think it's only at the master's level, but they have a program in nonprofit management. And there is a Lodestar Center at the ASU campus in downtown Phoenix. You can get 1 hour of free counseling from the Lodestar Center. Mm-hmm. So at the point in time that I was ready to file my 501c3 with the IRS, I wrote out all my questions. It's like going to a lawyer. You know, you don't want to waste time because they're going to charge you. So I went down there and just started firing these questions off. And the darling woman who helped me said, okay, slow down your roll here. I'll give you extra time. But you get a free hour of counseling.
So valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had no idea. I just stumbled onto it because I'm a serial surfer.
Yeah.
One thing I would say is, you know, we now have that tax credit program through our state where more and more organizations are being approved for that charitable giving tax credit on your state taxes. And that's coming up, you know, April.
There is still time to take advantage of it for this tax
year. There is. And on frontdoorsmedia.com, we have a tax credit directory where organizations who qualified could buy a listing. They have their logo on there and everything clicks to their organization. There's a description. Relative. And you can go shopping for your tax credits. But it's also a great way, back to your original question, to see what types of nonprofits are out there in the community. That was a new offering that we did this year. And we started it November 1 for those super organized people that do their taxes.
I hate those people.
Are there people who are like that?
That make contributions before December 31.
Yeah.
But on the state level, you can max out those contributions dollar for dollar off of your state taxes all the way up till you file on tax day.
Oh, wow. That's guiding
you, doesn't it?
It's free money to give away. Yeah. You're either going to give it to the government. Or, and again, there's limits. So for the charitable.
And see your tax consultant as a former staff accountant. I'm just going to add that thing.
Yep, absolutely.
There are no professional accountants here. So please see your tax advisor.
Yes, please. But in the director, we actually wrote an article where we interviewed
a tax advisor,
professionals in the field, and have an infographic showing how much you could max out the opportunity across four of the categories.
And Andrea, I have a question because I really don't know this. We've looked at it for Second Act just briefly. Are you limited? Is the tax credit charity, are the charities limited to a specific type or with specific missions?
They are. For example, arts and culture are not included at this time.
Cancer?
You know, you have to be doing an educational component, So I would look at it and I can connect you with somebody that could help apply that lens.
I'd appreciate
I know that.
That
the people who run Camp Sunrise for kids with cancer, they just got their qualification.
Very cool.
Okay. And can receive these. It's $400 and $800 maximum increments. That people can give individually or as a couple annually on that one credit. There's also a foster care credit. There's not very many organizations, for example, that qualify for that. And then there's the public schools and then the private tuition organizations.
And I guess just as a small nonprofit here locally, I would encourage people not only when they're taking advantage of those credits, but to really consider what's going to happen to their money, how much of their money will stay in the Valley as opposed to going off to, you know, into general funds for large national organizations. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but just know what you're giving and does that match up with what your hope is?
Right. No. And I think, you know, collectively, what you've all said is so important as a resource for nonprofits in the state, I would still direct people to the Alliance of Arizona Nonprofits. And if you are a nonprofit and don't belong to that group, I strongly suggest that you look at that. If not becoming a member, at least attending one of their workshops or one of their sessions, because I think that can be a really great resource for so many. And then too, it's connecting and it's listening when you're hearing people talk and saying, and everyone knows this, who do I know? Mm-hmm. What do I know? And where would I lead them to? So I may not have the answer, but I will say, you know who you need to talk to is Janie Smith, because Janie's going to give you, I heard you talking and the topic, I've heard her talk about that. I know she's passionate about it. And just making those connections, because from there, that's what the snowball effect takes into effect. And so much, you know, we can do as women because we are sharers.
Yep.
We are not hoarders with information or things. And I think too, if we can shine the positive light on just helping others. And I remember as a little girl, Sister Lucretia, never forget her, said you could, and this is in first grade, you could always make someone's day just with a simple smile.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It started just with a smile. And she's saying it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't, you don't have to do anything, but to remember that, because as she shared with us, it may be one, the only smile or the nicest thing that person has seen or experienced that day. Yeah, and I just remember that.
Yeah,
that that was just a, true. So just remember it starts with that. And I think the Valley has so much, we are so blessed in this Valley to have so many resources and so many opportunities to connect with those resources. And you do have to hunt and search for them. There is not a directory. And I don't know if you remember, but back in the 90s, there was a directory of Maricopa County. It was literally, and I still have mine from 1996. It was this thick.
Back when there was paper?
Yes, when there was paper. And it was a directory of every single nonprofit or agency in Maricopa County.
Wow.
And it literally, I mean, it was a book. I mean, it had to stand 6 inches high. And it was called the Directory of Maricopa County. And again, it had the, including federal agencies, state agency, county agencies, and then it listed all the nonprofits. It listed just who their CEOs were, their mission, how to get a hold of them.
How cool.
And things. It was put out though, which is why it doesn't exist anymore. It was put out by Maricopa County.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the Yellow Pages.
So when the budget got
which
cut,
I got delivered on my door, or my driveway just the other day again. I'm like, are you kidding me? I got the Yellow Pages again. I always laugh.
Yes.
Right to the recycling bin.
Yes. Well, my husband joked on Facebook.
Yes.
My friend saw, my children said, what is this? Yes.
What but paper is not dead.
No.
I mean, paper.
Oh, I'm a writer. I hope not.
No, yeah, it's a great, I mean, and it's so funny because I actually brought mine in to kind of look and review to see what it had in it.
And there was it changed?
No, it hasn't, which is kind of cool because the biggest thing I saw was an updated map of our community because our streets and everything keeps changing. I mean, think about it, the 202 in a couple of years is going to go through, you know, Ahwatukee. And so I was like, wow, just to have that, I was like, oh, this is exciting. The thing I was missing though, and if you're listening out there, I do miss the coupons. Those used to be on the front. Those used to be when you open them, you'd get those front pages of coupons. I was like, oh, no coupons. And because
and you would use them?
Yes, I would use them. Absolutely.
I would clip them and they'd take up a bunch of
that's
space.
That's me.
Oh, no.
I think I would use them.
I use them.
When I go to grab them, they've already expired.
Well, and that's my trick. So I actually put my coupons in order based on expiration date.
Ah.
So that I'm looking at the most recent one, like, oh, I need to use that one, or do I need this one? Or the other thing too is, and again, I know just people talking with conversations, somebody like, oh, I love massages or whatever. So I'll save the coupon for them and I'll hand them the coupon saying, hey, did you see this? Or did you know this was there?
I want to get to know you better.
She's very organized.
This is good.
But it's just, it's enlightening or whatever. And I was really impressed to see too the companies that purchased ads in the in that directory. Yeah. Because obviously, and let me tell you, I have an 80, she'll be 88 years old in on May 4th, my mother who lives with me. My mother will not get on a computer to look for. So let me tell you where that phone book directory went immediately to her room.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, she still uses her dictionary. She still uses, I mean, everything is in a paper format for her. And even just try and introduce the Kindle to her. She was like, but you don't have the smell of the book.
That's right.
I mean, that's the whole, you know, or to highlight or take your
turning
notes.
The pages. Yep.
Right. And take your notes and put it down from it. She's like, I can't do this. This is like, so it's the opposite of what you hear, like the kids, what is this? Mm-hmm. Then you have, you know, so someone who's 88 saying, what is this? And it's great that we have everything, but it is a great resource, I think, for, because different strokes for different folks.
Very
and that's,
true.
You know, and that's what it is. So, Andrew, talk a little bit too about, I know Front Doors does so much in the community, but I know so do you. So share some passions that you have personally for yourself in the community and what you're working on or what you have worked on.
Oh, great. Well, this year with Front Doors, my husband and I actually sat down and we said we want to be really intentional about answering that question and show what our family is doing to giving back. So we actually had a meeting with our two children. We have a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old. And we said, you know, what are the organizations that you think of that we love to participate in as a family? And so we picked three arts and culture organizations. My son picked the Arizona Science Center, where he loves to spend as much time as possible. And so we're members, President's Club members, and also participated in their gala this year, which was the Pompeii exhibit, which is incredible. And I think it's ending in May. So go see Pompeii. And then my daughter picked the Phoenix Children's Museum, Children's Museum. And same thing. I had a friend very involved. My neighbor's on the board. And so I signed up to do something there.
If you haven't been there, it's crazy there. Uh-huh. On their open night. Woo-hoo.
Yes. Volunteer first Fridays.
First Friday. Woo-hoo.
Yep. Free First Fridays. Yeah. My son actually volunteered his time to be in the video for Free First Fridays as their kid reporter. So we, these three organizations, we are doing a lot with them. And again, family wide. And the third one is Valley Youth Theater.
Oh, I love Valley Youth. It's Bob Cooper's fantastic.
Bob Cooper has done an amazing job. And so we just helped put on a Oscar party celebrating that Emma Stone is, you know,
She's an Arizona
Oscar winning
former cast member
and very involved. It really, you know, came up through Valley Youth Theater. She thanked Bob Cooper in her speech last year. We knew she'd be on the broadcast again this year as a presenter. And so we all threw an Oscar party down at Value Theater.
Fun. And she's not the only one who came from there. Jordan Sparks.
No.
There's Value Theater.
An amazing group of alumni. And they're not, it's not just the actors and actresses and performers that they celebrate as alumni. It's the lawyers and the police officers and the any story of an alumni, and they come back and tell it. They're really celebrated by that organization. And it's a great example of how theater can do a lot for children's confidence and speaking and getting involved on all levels.
And he's been in the Valley a long time. It's
Bob's 20th anniversary.
Yeah,
and his wife, Carol, who does all the costumes. So
is that amazing? Carol. Yeah, definitely. That's neat.
And Judy, that gets me thinking about your, I was going to ask earlier, your stage performances.
Uh-huh.
So tell us a little bit more about that. Is it... What does that mean to have a stage performance?
So, and I have to say at the outset, it's really funny. A gal who was in the audience on Sunday came up to me afterwards and said, okay, I have avoided this the first 2 years because I thought it was going to be really sad and I was going to cry and I don't want to revisit all that ugliness. She said, I had no idea. This was fun. It was funny. It was inspiring and of course touching, but some of the gals are hilarious. So we run auditions every January. for a cast of eight. We give the auditionees minimal instruction because we want them to be as authentic as possible. Those then who are selected by the audition team, of which I am not a part, although Andrea was last year, they are selected based on their second acts. Do they have a second act that is, you know, not just, we tell people who are signing up to audition in the email that we send them, you know, we all got diagnosed and went through the treatment. It was the worst day of our life. It was awful. We lost our hair. We threw up. Now, what are you doing? So, and then I am so blessed. The organization is so blessed. A woman came up to me 2 years ago, just after we'd started, and said, I think I want second act to be my second act. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I have about 30 years in the theater. And I said, great. So beautiful Deidre Kay is our executive producer who coaches these women on all kinds of wonderful little tricks to make the performance, make their performance really shine. And then she and I together create this tapestry of stories based on the emotions. So there's highs, there's touching, there's a little irreverent every once in a while. And the net result is a 90-minute performance of eight stories. It's very scripted. It's not like a poetry jam where you just get to do whatever you want. They read from a book, although most of them have their stories memorized. And we typically have we've been blessed by having some wonderful MCs. Dave Pratt MC'd the first two shows. Olivia Fierro from Channel 3 did the show on Sunday. It's astounding. It was Andrea's first show. Isn't it like off the wall crazy?
No, it was amazing. I had my tissues ready and actually laughed. And again, I was part of the selection panel, so I knew the stories, but glad I didn't go to another rehearsal so that I could see everybody in their full final version. And there was a lot more laughter than there was tears on Sunday. And so, you know, you think of TEDx talks and they're real, that format, this, the podium, some beautiful flower arrangement in front of the podium. And then they each go up and tell their story about 8 to 10 minutes. And the order that Deidre and Judy placed them in really did take you on a journey for an hour and a half. And it was very inspiring and delightful.
Are you going to take Toastmasters down?
I'm sorry?
I said you're going to end up taking Toastmasters down.
How often
are you doing these performances?
So we do the performances in each city once a year because we want there to be, pent up excitement. So the Phoenix performance is always in March and the Tucson performance is always in November. We are now being asked by cities outside of Arizona to bring the magic. And so Deidre and the other two wise women, my key volunteers and I are figuring out how we can best do that and maintain the integrity of the performance and all of our other programs. But what will always remain a truism is that money raised in a city stays in a city. Good. And because what we do with the money, that's the part I forgot to tell, what we do with the money, we make micro grants to women survivors every year. This will be our second year, who are ready to launch or grow their second acts. And mm-hmm. so last year we made three $1,000 grants, which doesn't sound like a lot of money.
No, that's a lot of money.
But when you are brand new and starting out or, you know, looking to grow, and then we've had a wonderful entrepreneurial business coach step up and say, and I will coach these women to help them maximize the use of that money. So the grant cycle opens June 1st. They participants have 60 days to file their grant application online. And then our advisory board goes to work selecting the grantors, which are announced the first part of September.
And Judy, one of those micro grants has really blossomed into a booming organization.
Well, I can think of two. Which one?
Oh, well, I'm thinking of Holly Rose
Yes.
and Check for Don't be a chump. Check for a lump.
Exactly. I just got a mail today when I walked in the studio.
There you go.
The wig out.
She's been a guest twice on the show. Yeah. Fantastic female, obviously, an organization and leader. And she's doing great things with her story.
Well, and when Komen left the Valley last year, Holly said, all right, I guess
sweep
it's up
to
me. That's right. That's right. The other grant recipient from Phoenix last year, Sue Ellen Allen, who was in our performance last year, has an organization called Reinventing Reentry. And it is to prepare not only people leaving prison to reenter their lives because they have no credit, no bank account, sometimes no home, and they can't get credit or a bank account or a home. But it also makes businesses and government officials aware of what that's like. She puts them through simulations and it's amazing. And so she was one of the other recipients, and she is a breast cancer survivor who was diagnosed 1 month before she began a 7-year prison sentence.
Wow,
so
incredible.
What an amazing woman she is.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. The good thing I can say is at least you'll have good credit when you come out because you have no credit.
That's right.
That's a benefit. That's a good thing.
Is good credit good credit?
Yeah. It's better than bad credit, I'll tell you.
Robin, would you say that's true?
Yeah, there you go.
No credit is hard. It's good. I mean,
but it's better than bad credit.
Yeah. Bad credit is worse, right?
Yes, bad credit is worse.
Build good credit if you're going to go that route. Cash is king.
Yeah. And share, Robin, a little bit too, maybe on that thing. What does someone who wants to qualify or look for a home, share with us what that looks like in today's environment? Is it still the bank statements and the...
Well, I'm not a lender, so I can just refer to some specialists on that. But they do need to show that they have, you know...
The ability to pay, right.
Coming in. Yep, so... I would always recommend that you talk to someone who can walk you through that. Everyone's different. There's so many different programs, different down payment assistance programs.
And those are your partners?
My partners, yeah.
Great.
And I have several partners in the Valley. Each one I recommend to. There's probably four that I work with regularly, but personality has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. Veteran programs has a lot to do with it, where they're located, things like that.
And is our market steady? Buyer's market, seller's market?
It's on the rise. Well, you know, every community is different. You can't say it as a general rule that Arizona is up or down. Each community is a little bit different. Right now in the West Valley, house prices are on the rise. We have some population growth. We've got a lot of
the
new
development
industry
out there.
Goodness.
The industry.
It's 303, yeah.
Yeah. So it's starting to really boom. Mm-hmm. And that's always a good thing. It's great for investments, especially for rental properties. But yeah, it's really starting to grow and grow. And
what do
grow.
You know about Bill Gates? What is it called? Pleasantville or whatever?
Oh, right.
This thing is that really going to happen? That was announced last fall?
It's a thing.
We're looking at
what's
that.
It
called? Bountiful?
I thought it was called, I always call it Pleasantville because I always think of that.
That movie.
Yeah. Right.
It's some plastic community.
Right. Digital and all the technology. Yeah. It's going to be great for tours. I'll tell you. It's really going to change the way
we grew up on that one.
Yeah.
It'll change the way people look at homes. So when we say, oh, this is a great home and it's got a lot of potential. Technology is so huge as far as, you know, the Ring doorbell and the Nest and the thermostats and the lights that turn on and the security systems. If you don't have those things, that's a deterrent anymore. So it's an upgrade
and
all of those things.
I still turn off and on my lights.
I
still have to ring my doorbell and I have to walk to the door to answer it. I do have Alexa though.
Our kids got us, I updated it. The Christmas time, and I opened all my gifts. What is this?
What was it?
So now in lights throughout the house, because my mother lives with us or whatever, my husband can remotely with his phone turn those lights on.
It's fascinating what's available.
It brings so much value to a home nowadays. You know, I like an old school house. I like a little character in my house, but you know, it's an enhancement. It's the new and the old combined and it really does. Bring value to the house and people are looking for that. So
my son was on a 1-year deployment a year or so ago. And So my daughter-in-law's mother gave her the Ring doorbell. They happen to be stationed right now in the Salt Lake area. The first time after she installed it, the first time I went up there and I was staying with the kids while my daughter-in-law was at work and the doorbell rang and I went to the door, but Amber, my daughter-in-law, had already answered the door from work. And there's these two little kids wanting to see my grandson looking from me to the doorbell back to me again. And I was like, who is this? It's like God's voice is coming out of the doorbell.
Incredible.
Yeah. It is. So you're still answering your door, Karen.
I am still answering my door. Still, we still have a house phone, although we don't answer it very often. But yeah, we're very old school. Our 10-year-old is.
But you throw away the yellow pages.
But I do. Yes, I'm not that old school. I do draw the line somewhere.
That you're moving. You're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. You're thinking about it, but you're not just right yet to jump. That is great. Well, any last comments? I know we have a few minutes left. But just want to make sure that each of you get to share something that maybe we hadn't talked about or how to get in touch with you again. If you want to give websites or information or your email address, please do.
Well, I'll start. Last couple of weeks, Front Doors has announced that we're producing an event in May, and it's in partnership with National Bank of Arizona and the Westin Kierlin, and it's called Society of Chairs. And it's a celebration of anybody who has stepped up and chaired an event or co-chaired an event for their beloved, you know, nonprofit organizations. And so watch frontdoorsmedia.com for more information, and tickets will be on sale soon. So we're doing that and with it launching our own foundation called the Sauce Foundation. And that is in memory of our former editor, Mike Saucier, who was diagnosed and passed away from pancreatic cancer this past fall. And so we've been working with his wife to create a foundation in his honor. And we will be working with TGen to fund some early detection trials for pancreatic cancer. This is, you know, anybody who knows somebody who's had pancreatic cancer, the diagnosis pretty much is a death sentence.
Right.
As well as journalism scholarships in his memory at the ASU Cronkite School of Journalism.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? So,
thank you. And Robin, how can someone get a hold of you if they need help on?
You can get a hold of me through my website at Robin Carpenter, and it's Robin with a Y, R-O-B-Y-N, Carpenter, AZ.com. And you can also download my app, which is very helpful. You can find houses in the neighborhood, looking for houses in your price range without having anyone bother you, which is very nice.
Right.
And for Second Act,
my last words, cancer doesn't end when treatment does, but there is healing in helping. So visit asecondact.org and we'll help you out.
Well, I want to say thank you for listening to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, as we hope today's show connected, inspired, and led you to continue to be and do your best. Thank you, Karen Nerwick. And I'm Joanne Holland, and make it a great day, ladies.